Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on a really important DNB idea. Subweight, not just more bass, not just heavier drums, but the relationship between the break, the sub, and the low-mid movement so the whole drop feels massive, even when the mix stays clean. We're working in Ableton Live 12 at 174 BPM, and the goal here is to rebuild a breakbeat around a subweight first mix. That means we're not treating the break like a loop we just toss into the arrangement. We're treating it like a performance layer. Every slice has a job. Some slices drive the groove. Some slices act like fills. Some slices are just there to keep the energy moving between the main hits. A lot of DNB loses impact because the low end is crowded instead of coordinated. The kick is fighting the sub. The break's room tone is masking the bass. The reese is too wide, or everything is technically loud, but nothing feels anchored. This workflow fixes that by making the groove feel bigger while actually reducing clutter. That's the whole point of subweight. So let's set up the session first. Start a new live set at 174 BPM. Drop in a reference track from the style you're aiming for, maybe a classic jungle roller, a darker neuro-leaning tune, or a stripped-back modern DNB cut. Keep it low in level. You're comparing balance and energy, not loudness. Now build three main groups. Drum break, sub, and bass or mid. Keep the routing simple at the start. On the master, leave yourself at least 6 dB of headroom while you're building. That gives you room to hear the actual low-end relationship instead of being tricked by accidental loudness. Put utility on the sub-channel right away so you can control mono. Put EQ8 on every low-end lane. Add saturator on the bass group for harmonic visibility. Drum bus can go on the break group for some subtle density. Glue compressor can help later if needed, but don't start by crushing anything. This routing matters because DNB is all about separation inside density. If your routing is messy, the low end will blur before the arrangement even gets interesting. Now let's rebuild the break. Import a break with character. Amen. A raw jungle loop, something with room tone and ghost notes, something that already has personality. Then slice it into simpler or chop it manually in arrangement view. The advanced move here is to think functionally. Put the break into parts. The main snare hit, the kick or low thump, the ghost and percussion tails, and any fill fragments you want for turnarounds. If the break is too loose, flatten it to audio and use warp markers only where they really matter. Don't overfix the timing. In DNB, the push and pull is often what makes a break feel alive. Tighten the main hits, but leave some of the micro timing. Nudge a few ghost notes slightly early or late if needed. That little human drag can make the groove breathe. Tone-wise, use EQ carefully. High pass the break only if there's useless rumble down below. If the low mids are getting muddy, carve a little space around 200 to 350 Hz. If the snare needs to crack a bit more, a gentle lift in the 1.8 to 4k Hz range can help. But be careful, we're not trying to turn the break into a sterile drum machine. We want it to feel edited, not sterilized. Now comes the sub. Load operator or wavetable on a dedicated MIDI track. And for classic DNB sub, operator is perfect. Use a sine wave, keep it mono, and set a subtle glide if you want smoother note transitions. A little portamento in the 20 to 60 millisecond range can add that rolling feel without making it obvious. The key here is to write the sub as a phrase, not a drone. Don't just mirror every drum hit. Let the sub answer the break. Leave space where the ghost note clusters are busy. Let the sub hit under the snare space when you want tension. Use longer notes at the end of a phrase so the drop feels like it's opening up. This is one of the biggest mindset shifts in advanced DNB mixing. The bass lane should stay emotionally simple. The complexity comes from texture, rhythm, and timing, not from constantly changing the low note pattern every bar. A good starting move is to keep the sub notes in the 1/8 to 1/2 note range, depending on how dense the break is. Keep the sub strong, but don't let it dominate the transient space. If the kick and the sub are both living in the exact same low zone, you need to decide which one owns that space in that section. Now add a bass by layer. This is your restyle or mid-bass layer, and this is where movement and attitude live. Use wavetable, analog, or even a resampled layer. Detune it subtly. You want presence, not a giant supersaw. A little saturation goes a long way here. Think of this layer as the thing that makes the bass readable on small speakers, while the sub handles the physical weight. High pass this layer so it stays out of the sub's lane. Often that starts somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on the sound. If this layer carries too much low end, the whole drop gets thick but stops feeling heavy. That's an important distinction. Subweight is not just thickness. It's clarity with force. Use auto filter to automate movement. you can sweep this layer between roughly 200 HC and 1.2 KHE for builds, fills, and phrase changes. Add some saturation, maybe in that 2 to 6 dB range, just enough to make the harmonics show up. If you want width, use it only above the sub region. Keep the actual low end centered. Now lock the kick and snare relationship. If your break already contains those hits, treat them as part of the break's identity. If you're layering extra kick or snare, make sure they support the break instead of replacing it. On the drone break group, use EQ to cut any mud around 200 to 350 HC if needed. Drum bus can add some glue and transient shape, but go easy. You want the snare to crack and the kick to punch without making the whole thing spitty. If you use glue compressor, keep it subtle. A little cohesion is enough. On the bass and sub, keep the sub mono with utility. If there's a kick-sub conflict, don't assume sidechain is always the answer. In fact, try sidechaining the bass bodied layer first and leaving the sub more stable. That often preserves weight while still creating movement in the groove. One useful rule of thumb: kick fundamentals often sit around 45 to 70 HC, and sub notes often sit around 40 to 60 HC. If those are overlapping too much, decide which element gets priority in that section. That decision alone can make a tune feel twice as clean. Now let's talk about groove detail, because this is where the magic really starts. The subweight feel comes from what happens between the main hits. Zoom in and work the spaces between the snares. Add tiny break slices before or after the main snare to create forward motion. Pull ghost notes down by 6 to 12 dB so they support the groove instead of cluttering it. Use clip gain or track volume automation for small dynamic fixes. If the break feels stiff, don't immediately quantize harder. Try a subtle groove template from the groove pool. Try duplicating a 2-bar pattern and then removing one or two hits in the second bar. Let one or two hats or shuffles stay a little louder so there's still top-end motion. You want the groove to roll forward, not tick mechanically. Also, don't forget transient shaping by editing, not just by compression. Trim overly long kick tails. Cut noisy tail hits that mask the sub. Let a couple of open hats stay prominent so the break keeps some air and motion. Once the break, sub, and bass body are roughly working, resample a 4 or 8 bar pass. This is a huge finishing move. Route the low-end bus or a subgroup to a new audio track. Record a clean pass, and then slice that resampled audio into usable pieces. Now you've got the actual glue of the system printed into audio. You can use it for fills, transitions, texture layers, reverse moments, stutters, or filtered tails. This is especially powerful in DNB, because the listener's ear already accepts dense rhythmic information. A resampled low-end texture can feel like a signature production detail, not just an edit. From there, start shaping the arrangement. Think in phrases. Don't leave the low-end balance static for 32 bars. For a 16-bar drop, maybe bars 1 to 4 are full break plus sub with restrained bass body. Bars 5 to 8 bring in more res movement or a filter opening. Bars 9 to 12 strip out one drum element and let the sub breathe. Bars 13 to 16 bring back the full edit and a fill or turnaround. Automation is your friend here. Use auto filter cutoff on the bass body for rises. Use utility gain on the sub for pullbacks or emphasis. Increase saturator drive on the bass bus in the last 4 bars to intensify the section. Add reverb to selected snare hits if you want, but automate it off quickly so the mix doesn't wash out. A really strong DNB trick is contrast. For example, bar 8 can drop the bass body out completely and leave just sub plus break. Then bar 9 comes back in with a filtered release. That kind of tension and release often hits harder than adding more and more layers. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't make the sub too wide. Keep it mono and check it in mono regularly. Second, don't let the break own the whole low-mid range. Cut mud and trim unnecessary tails. Third, don't sidechain everything aggressively by default. Sidechain only the layers that need the motion. Fourth, don't stack too many kick and snare replacements if the break is already carrying the identity. Fifth, don't saturate the pure sub too much. Add harmonics to the bass body layer instead. And sixth, don't quantize the life out of the break. Keep the ghost notes and shuffle. For darker, heavier DNB, a few extra moves can really help. Split the bass into weight and character. Let the sine sub carry the chest hit, and let the res or distorted layer deliver the attitude. Automate a low pass on the bass body before fills, so the section sucks inward before the drop hits. Use drum bus lightly on the break, then resample it. And remember, sometimes silence under the snare hits harder than constant low notes. One more advanced idea: alternate the sub articulation between sections. Maybe drop 1 has a clean sign sub with tight note lengths. Drop 2 uses the same notes, but with a touch more glide or saturation. In the breakdown, let the sub ghost underneath the atmosphere with a filter on it. That gives the arrangement motion, without rewriting the whole idea. You can also create answer notes only on the second pass of a phrase. First 2 bars, sparse, functional sub. Second 2 bars, add a pickup note or an octave hit before the turnaround. That subtle variation can make the drop feel alive. And if you want to push it further, resampling can create your whole transition language. Grab a full low-end pass, then build a fill, a reverse moment, and a bar 16 variation from that bounce. That's how you make the track feel designed rather than assembled. So here's the core takeaway.